welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quick, fast, goofy, self-improvement podcast of awesome with a brand new intro.
I can't believe we have to redo the intro.
We lost our intro because we're not tech savvy here, Dude, but we're cool.
We did like that 14 years ago.
I know, man.
I don't even remember what the podcast is about at this point.
Anyways. Dogs Are Smarter Than People is the podcast that helps you live a happier, quirkier life. I'm Carrie Jones, a New York Times and internationally best-selling novelist, and the guy with me is actually married to me.
For how long, we don't know.
But not much longer.
It's been a good run.
But this is my co-host, Sean Farrar. Join us as we start off with a random thought about the weirdness of life, and then we segue beautifully and smoothly into...
Dog advice? Dog tips?
Life advice. You've got this. You've got it too. Hey, welcome to Doggies.
Hey, baby. What's going on? Dogs are smarter than people.
Dogs are more intelligent than humans. I think we need to rebrand. Dogs are more intelligent than humans.
Just changing dogs, two words.
Canines are more cognitively advanced than hominids.
I did forget to tell you that person.
Humanoids.
So you made me think that person that I just met with, actually, during our excursion, they did say, you have really good situational awareness.
To you?
Because of a couple things I picked out. I said, it's a burden sometimes.
You do have, but what does that have to do with this?
Because that's kind of what you were alluding to for dogs. Like, they have that innate sensing ability.
They are smarties.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that I don't have any of.
Oh, you do.
Oh, you lie.
When it comes to humans, you do have some.
Yeah. Anyways, over on our random thought, right? Because we have to do random thought. This is kind of about humans. So this is from shepherdexpress.com.
I really wanted the Bible sex one.
We found something about Bible sex, but I just couldn't do it. Okay. That sounds really wrong. I couldn't do the Bible sex. But no, I couldn't go there. All right, so anger management, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to read this verbatim. Tennessee State Rep. Jeremy Faisal, 45, had to be ejected from the stands at a high school basketball game in Johnson City on January 4th after he became angry at a referee and tried to paint him. The article then explains that pants means pulling down your trousers.
Yes, it does.
Which is very important because you want to know what pantsing means. But can you imagine this guy? I'm really mad. I'm really mad. I'm yelling at the ref and I try to pull down the ref's pants.
Mm-hmm. That's so mature.
But it gets better. Faison's son was playing on the Lakeway Christian Academy team.
Oh, of course.
NBC News reported. Later, Faison tweeted, totally lost my junk and got booted from the game.
From the gym.
And I would like to tell Mr. Faison that junk has another meaning.
Yeah, does.
And if you're pantsing someone and then you talk about your own junk.
It's like he got thrown out of the gym because his junk fell off.
I know.
Slid down his pants and fell on the floor.
Like, oh no, it's gone. And everyone screams. Children's eyes are covered. A medical doctor picks it up and packs it in ice. But anyways, that's not the junk he means. I think he means his anger, right? But it's so funny to me because this article explains what pantsing is.
Yeah.
But doesn't explain what junk is.
Well, that's because maybe they didn't want to allude to the other alternative junk.
I wish they had.
Which is, I would say junk is more common to describe a male genitalia.
Yeah, man. At least in my world.
Than your brain status. Yeah. Like, I totally lost my mind.
Yeah.
Or I totally lost my gourd.
Or my chill.
Yeah.
He continued to say in his tweet, I hope to be able to find the ref and ask for his forgiveness. I was bad wrong.
Or maybe he did lose his junk in that way. He wasn't really that pissed off at the ref. It's like, you know, when you're having a bad day and then your kid is just a little bit out of line, but it really just kills you.
You just can't handle any.
I might not have a lot of patience if I lost my junk. Probably for the rest of my life.
Where are your junk?
But at least for a day.
Can you imagine it?
No, I can't imagine calling after your junk for any reason.
Where did it go? Did I forget it on the top of my head like my glasses?
I would never be able to enter you again.
Anyways, well, I don't know why you just crossed the line right there.
It's a reference from that show we just watched. Remember that lady had a real hang up about the words enter? Don't say enter me.
I was trying to find a little bit more on this Tennessee House guy. He's a House Republican. He's the caucus chairman. He's the House District 11 state rep. And
but he's only state level rep.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a husband and a dad.
And a small business owner. What kind of meek hay was that?
I'm feeling very timid about the podcast.
Now for the serious stuff.
Okay, so over on our Substack, Living Happy, I've been talking a lot about creating our own realities in relation to success and meaning and happiness.
Are those three separate categories?
No, they don't need to be. I like.
No, I mean, I would hope that they are, because why do you have to base your meaning and happiness on your success? It's kind of my point.
I think it's like a Venn diagram and things
overlap.
Oh,
exactly.
So this is just really like kind of diving deep over there to realize that maybe your perspective isn't the one you want, but maybe it's being handed to you by culture, or it's being influenced too much by your parent or a Cardassian or your mean teacher in seventh grade, right? The Cardassian's like, this is what success looks like. A mean teacher in seventh grade might be, this is what success looks like. A parent might be, this is what it is to be happy. You know, like, they all kind of blend. And for a lot of us, we get heavily influenced as we grow in age by those outside factors. And we never really take the time to think, what is it for me to be successful or to be happy or to have meaning?
I get you.
All right.
I think a lot of people that don't mesh with their parents, like mentally, find that to be very much a burden.
Yeah.
Because their definition of success is not even close to parental expectation.
Right. And I'd say that's the same for people who don't mesh with culture, like popular mainstream of culture.
Right.
You know? Like there's whole movements created by people thinking outside the box and diving deep.
Right.
So anyways, one of the first steps to understanding the scripts that you have going on in your head, like that might be telling you that you're no good, you're not successful. Oh, yeah, you are successful. You are good. This is what good is.
You'll never find love.
Right. So those scripts that you have going on in your head, they might be preventing you. If those are negative scripts. I'm stripping, but it's negative. Scripts.
It's never negative, baby. Strip.
By preventing you from being happy, right?
Yeah.
So according to Ramya Ranganathan, a professor who has a class also on edX, one of those steps is to ask yourself, who informs you when you specifically think about, we're going to just take success, what it means to be a success?
Mm-hmm.
And he suggests these three questions or activities, right?
Yeah.
So one,
list the most important people who have given you advice on your career.
Two,
what are their definitions of success?
Three,
what happens if their definition of success is somewhat different from yours?
I cry. Four.
What happens if their definition of success is very different from yours?
I cry harder.
Curl up in a fetal position?
Yeah, but
stay
like...
stay in bed all day?
But if you think about it, like, who are the most important people who gave you advice on your career? He had deer in the headlights eyes.
Well, that's because I come from a different kind of family. But it wasn't really, like, career-oriented. It was more, like, happiness-oriented.
But you had a career.
I did.
Did
I
just, you not I have just any?
Fell into that.
I know, but in your career, did you not have like other popos?
Oh, like during down the? Not really.
No. No one ever mentored you.
Well, I mean,
Nate never mentored you.
People taught me the basics, and every once in a while, I might get a little nugget of golden knowledge from somebody that was smarter. Like, you know, I did have a chief that definitely had, in some ways, an outlook on law enforcement that was a little closer to mine in some regards, right?
Yeah, you did.
But it wasn't like we sat down and smoked cigars and let me tell you what you want to do to be successful in this job.
All right. So how about, like, did anybody tell you, like, their definitions of success? Maybe not in job, but in life, like.
I think I've probably heard 1,000 definitions of success over the course of my few years on this earth. And some of them I agree with and some of them I don't.
And, like, even cultural references, like that Lynyrd Skynyrd song influenced you, that Simple Man song.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, like, you can see how, even though you're kind of putting up a lot of barricades initially about these questions, that you have been influenced. All right, okay,
I've been influenced more by music than by people.
You child of the 80s, you.
Have you never seen my tattoo on my back? It says, says Simple Man.
He doesn't have one. So anyways, according to this professor,
Ramya.
Yeah. We're all social beings. We live by interacting with each other. We need each other for transactional purposes and for belongingness and for identity and for affiliation and so many more undeclared needs. When we're a part of a group by choice or force, we begin to influence people around us, and in turn, we get influenced by those around us. So when you think about who you are and how you define what it is to be success, do you think you're defining it by other people or your culture's terms or yours? And is it because it feels safe to go with the majority, or is it another reason that you're defining success that way? And a real good idea to think about is, like, when you have attained career milestones or goals or your own goals, do they satisfy you? And if they don't, you might not be defining success the appropriate way for you.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I get goals all the time, and it means nothing to me.
You make goals for yourself, you mean?
I make goals.
Or you hear goals from other people.
Both, I guess, because you're influenced. You know, it's like, hey, you're a New York Times bestselling author, like, when that happened, right? And I was like, cool. I was excited, right? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't satisfied. I didn't think that was enough.
No, I understand.
Or if it's like, all right, there's another news blog. I have a news blog. And the other news blog guy, he's like, I am a successful muckraker. This article had 6,000 likes. Whoa. Because now I'm getting what I want, which is influence.
Right.
And that was like the most.
Well, that's the antithesis of you, baby.
Antithesis of me, right? But we're both in the same, vaguely same field in creating a local news blog, right?
Right.
But I don't care about influencing people. I just care about people getting information.
Right.
And
accurate information.
Yeah, and he's wealthy, so he doesn't care about anybody donating to him ever. So that's not one of his metrics.
Right.
And I'm every time someone actually gives me money, I'm like, oh my gosh, they paid me.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of lovely and satisfying. And so we have different metrics for success. And for me, my metric for success in a community of 5,000 people would not be getting 6,000 views. It would be just having somebody saying, like, I'm so glad that is there, because now people can get information for free if they want it. And thank you for not being biased.
Right.
Like, those are my metrics for success. And goals, sort of, but they're not really goals. They're just living in the moments.
Right.
And it's interesting to me, like, are mine defined more by society and culture, or are his? Are we both defined by society and culture, but just in different ways?
Probably.
When you get your goals, are you satisfied?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I've ever gotten a goal other than you, baby.
Oh, my God. Yes. And when you became sergeant.
Yeah.
You weren't, like, were you satisfied? Were you like, yay, I'm sergeant?
Well, that's a tricky question, because in certain ways, no. I didn't like it as much as being a regular patrol officer.
Because you didn't get to hang out with people?
Yeah.
And you had more paperwork?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know.
That makes sense.
I think my moral, or not moral.
Your personality.
My personal compass, my personality or whatever, wants to not be the regular kind of a peon guy.
Right.
But at the same time, doesn't want to be, I like to be in swimming in the pool of commoners.
Swimming in the
so
pool.
To speak. That sounds horribly.
God,
I really oh my did. God. I really did love interacting with people, whether they were having a good day or a very, very, very bad day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that might be the point, actually. So, like, I'm gonna just use you, and you're probably gonna say, "No, that's not right, Gary."
I'll try not to.
But like. You're wrong. Successful law enforcement careers,
yeah.
as defined, are hierarchical, where you go from common pool of commoners swimming mm-hmm. as a regular patrol officer, then maybe you get promoted and you get to be a sergeant, and then maybe you get promoted and be a lieutenant, and then you get to be assistant chief, and then you get to be chief.
Right.
And that's the hierarchical guideline of success. And with each step, you get more money mm-hmm. and more prestige.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what society says is success, but for you as an individual, that might not have been your success.
Right.
Your success was the time that you got in the grocery store line and this woman told you an anecdote about how your interaction with her son when he was in trouble influenced him for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
That meant more to you probably than becoming a sergeant. Although the extra money and healthcare benefits.
Well, it was
good.
Actually both her son and daughter, but
okay, what else?
I'm just kidding. But no, you're right. And so, that's not an uncommon thing. I've seen people that has been as high as a chief in one police department go to another police department as a regular officer and finish out the rest of their career and not want to go anywhere rank-wise.
But that's because they redefined success, not by the culture of the police department or the culture of society.
But by what makes them happy.
Exactly, and that's
yes,
the whole point.
I know.
And so for some of us, it's really hard to strip away what we really want.
And yet you refuse to let me lay around here and smoke weed all day long. And
I
be
do,
because
I really like having a house.
I'm just kidding.
You're not.
I am. Tip for life. I just love seeing you try to get away from me when
He's
I say
so
that.
So loud. So loud. I come from quiet people.
Do you?
No.
No.
No, they're loud too.
Are they really?
Yeah. What? My father it was from Staten Island.
Was he loud?
Oh, yeah.
Just when he spoke.
Yeah.
He wasn't loud. He didn't have like a loud personality.
No, no.
I think some people are loud in all ways.
Yeah,
in like high context. And yeah, some people just, you know, that's how they speak.
He was a very loud hobbit of a man just because I think he came from New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, New Hampshire didn't tame him.
So our wise old Sparty, he said, you're definitely right, bro. I don't smoke weed.
Wow. Oh my God.
But
oh my God.
You got to do what makes you happy. And if laying on the couch all day and getting up for the occasional snack is what makes you happy.
And poop.
That's all he does.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even come around to get petted anymore. You notice that?
I know. It's because he's so arthritic.
He doesn't want his butt rubbed.
No, I butt rubbed him today.
Yeah, but it's not constant like he used to.
No,
he
used to be constant.
Now he's traded his constant butt rubs for. Now he just comes and begs you for treats instead of butt rubs.
Yeah.
And
he's been on some medication.
Apparently, he's decided that makes him happier.
I think
food is now his, you know, what is it? Your mental safety thing.
Instead his security of butt rubs. Blanket.
Butt rubs used to make him feel good. Now it's food.
Yeah. Like many an old man. He has moved on from the tactile
intimacy to food.
To just wanting his food. Give me my liverwurst.
I hope you feed that dog liverwurst?
Oh, God.
I haven't seen you sneaking that out yet.
I only give him bologna. I don't give our dogs any deli meat.
No,
we
don't
have any deli meat.
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new,
amazing, creepy podcast is Dude, No! It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.